Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, this time that we can come before your presence together as your people to worship you and to hear what you have to say to us. Father, we thank you for your high calling, your intentions for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you grant us insight into all that you intend for us and also what you require of us. We pray that you also do a deep work in our hearts, that there may be a deep sense of purpose, meaning, direction in our lives in response to your call. And you have the freedom to work in our hearts, that your will may be done for each one of us. All this we pray and ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 60th message. We are considering moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man, the 29th message. The subtopic for today, faithful representatives of God and ambassadors for Christ. Faithful representatives of God and ambassadors for Christ. We have been considering the importance and direction of growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, that God wants us to move in the direction of friendship, relationship with Him, with Himself, and also meaningful partnership in working out His purposes. That it is God's will that we go beyond the master-slave relationship where we obey God as He gives us specific instructions. This was already true during the Old Testament times. We saw how God deeply appreciated Abraham and Moses and was prepared to share with them what was in His heart and have a dialogue with them and give weight to what they had to say. With the first coming of Christ, the outworking and fulfillment of God's purposes has entered a new phase, what God intends for us under the new covenant. In the light of what God has accomplished and provided for us in Christ, the outpouring and ministry of the Holy Spirit, the completed scriptures comprising the Old Testament and the New Testament, and also God's intentions for us in our working of church life. All these facilitate growth and also the quality of our relationship with God and the meaning of our partnership with God in the fulfillment of His purposes. We saw that God wants to communicate with mankind, not merely in words, but through the lives of His people who can be His faithful representatives in words, conduct, and quality of life. This was perfectly exemplified in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, our perfect example. We saw in Old Testament times when God had something important to communicate, He often did so directly or revealed them directly to and through His servants. For example, much of the ministry of the prophets consists of what follows from the opening words, "Thus says the Lord." Likewise, the law revealed to and through Moses. His servants did not contribute to the content communicated. In New Testament times, much of what God wants to communicate to us comes through the apostles of Paul, Peter, and John. And these were actual letters written by the apostles and addressed to specific groups of people. The understanding, personality, spiritual health and stature of the apostles and what they had gone through and learned from the Lord are reflected in the content as well as the spiritual realities in the epistles. Paul's epistles contribute significantly to our understanding of what is in the heart of God concerning the fulfillment of God's purposes. They do not come in the form of "thus says the Lord," but Paul shared with us his understanding And also, the epistles include Paul's exhortations and instructions to believers on how we ought to live our lives and our working in of church life, which God wants us to pay heed to. What you've been considering has important implications for our lives, and I want to consider further with you these implications. And I want to consider with you the meaning of being guided and enabled by the Spirit. This is something important to believers, and we often pray in that direction for ourselves and for one another. But what do we mean when we say we are guided and enabled by the Holy Spirit? What do we expect when this takes place? What does it mean? When Paul wrote the epistles, he must have done so prayerfully, looking to the Spirit of God to guide and to enable him. And we can say he was guided and enabled by the Holy Spirit to write what he wrote. But the words written were not dictated to the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit. Yes, Paul was guided by the Holy Spirit, and yet at the same time, Paul was sharing with us his understanding. Not only that, his personality was also reflected in the epistles. His understanding, his personality, what God had taught him, what he had gone through. Likewise for us today, as we read the scriptures, Paul exhorts us to walk by the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and to be led by the Spirit, verse 18. What does this mean? It means in our daily lives, we should prayerfully look to the Spirit of God to guide us and to enable us that we may be faithful to God. And when this takes place, we can say the Spirit of God is guiding and enabling the person in what he's doing and what he's saying. And when this is taking place, we may ask the question, is it God speaking or man speaking? I pose this question to you at the end of the last message for you to ponder about. I do not know whether you've thought about it. In our daily lives, we look to the Spirit of God to guide us, and if we can say that the Spirit is guiding us, and when we speak to people, then is it God speaking or is it man speaking? It is both. It is not merely God speaking or man speaking, but both. But generally, it is not the Old Testament form of thus says the Lord. That means God speaking through the person and just the words of the Lord. But today, generally, when the Spirit of God guides us in our lives and we speak forth, there is the participation of the believer. So we need to note that the personality, the understanding, the spiritual stature, what the person has gone through, what he has learned, his strengths, and not only that, also importantly, bear in mind, his deficiencies, whether it be knowledge, character, various deficiencies and weaknesses in his life, all these will have a bearing on what comes forth, including the words used, the manner of communication, the spiritual life and reality, the weight, the thrust, the effectiveness, the impact of what we say. And this holds true not only with regard to being led by the Spirit in relation to ministry in words, but also in various aspects of conduct and ministry of our lives. When we our lives have impact on others, the ministry of God's children does not merely consist of words. Likewise, if we look at the example of the Lord Jesus, his ministry is not only in words, but as you've seen, it's through our whole lives, including words. When we are living as we should prayerfully each day, then we are guided and enabled by the Holy Spirit. But we are living, and our personality continues. Our understanding, our spiritual stature, what we have learned and gone through, our strengths and deficiencies, and also the degree of prayerfulness, because it varies. So these are variable factors. All these will have a bearing on what is proceeding forth from our lives, whether it be words, conduct, the testimony that we bear. And all these will also have a bearing on how we conduct ourselves, the way we do things, and the spiritual life and reality, the trust, the effectiveness, the impact on the lives of others. We can see the positive as well as the negative and the impurities. Sometimes you can say the deficiencies affect the depth and quality of the positive. For example, the degree of our knowledge of the truth. What we know is accurate, but we do not know that much. So it has a bearing on what is coming forth in our ministry. There's one kind of deficiency. There's more that we do not yet know. But there are other kinds of deficiencies, weaknesses, impurities in our hearts. Weaknesses, defects in our lives, our character. Now these will also have a bearing in our lives and ministry. And when these are having an impact on our lives, we do not say that, oh, that means the person is not led by the Spirit. It's of the flesh. We can say in reality there's often a mixture. And this is true. From weak believers, even to those who love the Lord deeply, the mature Christians, there are still impurities in their lives which can be reflected and do have a bearing on what is proceeding from their ministry. And bear in mind, the ministry of our lives is a continuing process. It's not just a given moment of time. The ministry is meant to continually flow forth. The Lord Jesus says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Similarly, the Lord Jesus, at all times, he was ministering in words and also the light that flows forth from his life. So we need to note that there is similarity in how God communicates to mankind through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and how God wants to communicate to mankind through his children. That is not only in words, but also in conduct and in life. But though there are similarities, there are also differences. The Lord Jesus, the Word of God, is perfect. He's perfect in moral, spiritual, beauty and stature, and he is God's perfect representative and communication to mankind. In the way he lives, the way he speaks, at all times, he is communicating perfectly on behalf of God. The effectiveness of communication and impact, the quality of life, and the words that proceed from his mouth. Whatever he says, whatever he transmits, should be received into our hearts without reservation. The only issue is that we properly understand him and what he's saying, we accurately understand. The moment we are clear that that is what he's trying to communicate, we can receive it into our hearts without reservation. We have looked at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. And the Lord Jesus, in verse 3, is described as the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. So the Lord Jesus perfectly represents God in his life, in his ministry, in the words that he speaks, the effectiveness, the quality of life. But for us, it is, in one sense, very different. We are not perfect. There are impurities in our lives, there are deficiencies in our lives, and we have a long way to go in growth, in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And these will have a bearing on how well we fare as God's representatives. And the quality of our witness, the quality of our speaking on God's behalf, and how God speaks and ministers to others through our lives. this should be a strong incentive to us and gives us a strong sense of urgency, the need to grow well, that we can more faithfully speak and minister to others, or how God can then speak and minister to others through our lives. We must, on the one hand, learn to give due weight to what God desires to communicate to us through faithful servants of God, and also through the brethren, through their words and through their lives. And that is what God desires to do. We must learn to give due weight to that. But at the same time, we must also recognize that all men are fallible, even the most mature and faithful of God's servants. So it is important that we evaluate what others say and teach and transmit in the light of what God has revealed in the scriptures. We cannot just simply absorb whatever we hear or whatever is being transmitted by the brethren, even when their motives are good, and even when we appreciate their ministry. From young believers to mature believers, we can benefit from their lives. God can speak to us through them and their lives. But at the same time, we need to evaluate what is being transmitted in the light of what God has revealed in the scriptures. This is very important. What God wants to communicate and teach us in the scriptures is absolutely accurate and reliable. Whatever we understand to be the true teaching of the scriptures, if you're accurate on that, we can straight away absorb it into our hearts and reflect it in our lives, live it out, just as what was mentioned just now about the Lord Jesus, his life, his teaching, his ministry. But in relation to the ministry from the brethren, from God's children, then we must bear this in mind, that even as the scriptures is absolutely accurate and reliable, we must evaluate all other forms of ministry to God's children on the basis, or rather, maybe I should put it this way, maybe clearer. What God wants to communicate and teach us in the scriptures is absolutely accurate and reliable, on the basis of which all communication, preaching, and teaching must be examined and evaluated prayerfully. I add prayerfully because it is not just a mental exercise. We need to prayerfully seek to understand the scriptures and also what is coming forth. There are those who are more faithful in their ministry, but there can also be those whose ministry is very grossly off the mark. And we need to be prayerful and not be adversely influenced. But even for those whose ministry we appreciate, we must still take care that we receive only what is in line with what God has revealed in the scriptures. So the key issue here is, or the key word is due. We must learn to give due weight and due respect to one another and to the brethren, and even for those who are more mature, and for that matter, even for those in leadership responsibilities. But not too much and not too little, but what God desires of us. It can be too much in the sense that we just simply follow whatever a person says, and on that basis we act and move because we say we respect this person very much. That would be wrong. But at the same time, if we are not careful, then our spirit may not be right and we may respond improperly to those who are serving the Lord, and in that way not only will we be hindered from benefiting from what God has to say to us, we can also grieve the Spirit of God, and in more serious instances, hinder the Lord's work by our words, our conduct, our spirit and attitude. So we need to bear in mind that there are various factors that have a bearing on what comes forth from the lives and ministry of God's children. And here I emphasize, it is all of God's children. God wants all of us to be His faithful representatives and to speak. And He wants to speak through our lives. But there are various factors that have a bearing on what is coming forth. Different ones are at different stages of development. That is an important factor. Then, as covered in an earlier message, there are many facets of moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And we may not have developed equally well in every facet. And not all of us have developed at the same pace in all aspects, all facets. So there can be various differences in the lives of different ones. There are also deficiencies and weaknesses in our lives, all our lives, and different ones may have different areas where they find more difficult. The struggles are greater, the deficiencies more significant. The degree of severity of the deficiencies also vary. Although God is calling us to Himself, and there's a high calling for all of us, at the same time, the ministry that God intends for each one of us is different. The different parts of the body, how He wants us to fulfill our part in the body of Christ, it differs. And the things that God teaches us, the spiritual gifts that He gives to us, the way He equips us, the experiences He wants us to go through, they are not the same. So all this will have a bearing on what comes forth from our lives. We must learn from one another in a spirit of humility. What God is speaking to us, what God desires to teach us through the lives of others. But we must prayerfully look to the Lord and learn to receive only the truth. And to learn how to sift out the impurities and not to be adversely influenced, affected by the impurities. Neither should we try to follow the external traits or even the personality and various characteristics of the person. But we should more concentrate on learning from the truth, to receive the truth. In whatever way the brethren, anyone amongst the brethren, can help us to know God more deeply and to know how we can be conformed to the character of Christ. That is what we should be concentrating upon as we seek to learn from one another what is in God's heart and how God desires us to live out our lives. What God wants to communicate to mankind is extremely precious and important. And He seeks to do so through frail human beings. And we may ask ourselves this question: how can we faithfully fulfill what God desires of us? How can we faithfully communicate what is in God's heart, His kind intentions toward man, and what He intends for us in Christ? It is a heavy responsibility, and not just words, but a spiritual reality manifested through our lives. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul tells us in this verse, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." What is the treasure that Paul is referring to? What are the earthen vessels? If we look at the context, the preceding verses, Paul talks about the ministry, verse 4, "Therefore, since we have received this ministry..." And then Paul talks about the manifestation of the truth in verse 2. And verses 3 to 6, Paul talks about the gospel. And then in verse 7 is the verse that we want to concentrate on. So in verse 3, Paul says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. He's talking about the gospel. And verse 5, he talks about the preaching of Christ. That's at the very heart of the gospel. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ, Jesus as Lord. So Paul is talking about this ministry that we have, that we have received. He is talking about himself and his co-workers, but we can also say it applies to us. And it involves a manifestation of truth through the lives of the workers, God's workers. And it has to do with the gospel and the preaching of Christ. Verse 6, Paul talks about the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. At the heart of the gospel, it also involves the communication and the manifestation of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Our appreciation of the glory of God, even as we grow in our appreciation and knowledge of Christ. And then Paul says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So in this verse, Paul is talking about frail human beings, that is, earthen vessels, being entrusted with a precious gospel, the treasure. And the gospel not in the narrow sense that Christians often mean when they use this word, but the gospel, the precious gospel in the scriptures, is actually a very wide thing. The scope of it is very much related to the mystery of what God intends for us in Christ. So Paul is here talking about what God has entrusted to his servants, to his children, and how the ministry is to be fulfilled. So let us take note of what Paul has to say in relation to the faithful discharge of what has been entrusted and the way of faithful ministry. There are a number of points in this passage that we can take note of. First of all, the manifestation of truth in the lives of God's servants. Even as Paul recognized that he has the responsibility in this ministry, verse 2 he says, maybe reading from verse 1, therefore, since we have received this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. He goes on to talk about how it is discharged. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adultering the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You notice here, in the discharge of the ministry, it is not just words, but also the manifestation of truth. But this is the positive. There's also the renouncing of the negative. We renounce the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adultering the word of God. Whatever is shameful is renounced. There's no craftiness. And careful not to adulterate, to dilute, or in any way to taint the word of God, so it's no longer pure. As far as we can, to be careful that what we are communicating is the pure truth, accurately understood, interpreted, communicated, but it goes together with life and the whole motivation and attitude of heart and the spirit, the quality of life. Renouncing the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adultering the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It goes together with a life. The ministry through word and through life. Verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled. So the communication of the gospel is in this form. Not just communication of the gospel by words we speak, but by word, conduct, and life. And then in verse 5, Paul tells us, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. This is another aspect that's important for us to bear in mind. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ. Constantly, in the whole way we minister, through ministry, we must always exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and help others to know Him, to relate with Him more deeply, to know Him more deeply. There's no projection of self, exaltation of self, but it is the preaching of Christ, the exaltation of Christ, to draw men nearer to the Lord. The other aspect is to bear in mind that this preaching of Christ goes beyond just telling people about Christ. What God desires of us is not just merely communicating the truth in the sense of concepts and ideas about Christ. Yes, He includes that. But it is the preaching of Christ. It is actually communicating the spiritual realities bound up with the person of Christ. We can say communicating the person of Christ to the recipients with spiritual life and reality. But of course, all this is related to the degree in which we ourselves have come to know Christ, not just mentally in concepts, but the reality of Christ in us. The other is the prayerfulness of our hearts, so that when we communicate, the Spirit of God can work and the communication of Christ comes through effectively to the hearers, to the recipients, because it's not just hearing with a ear. And then Paul in this passage also tells us that it must manifest the power of God and not what proceeds from ourselves. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. In one sense, you can say that if we look at the earthen vessels, weak, frail, it may seem not very helpful, but indeed it is important for us to recognize this earthen vessel, the frailty of man, and that what God wants is the manifestation, the communication of this with in the power of God, the surpassing greatness of the power of God. It is God at work in our lives, through our lives, and it must not be from ourselves. That is proceeding from ourselves. That is what is of the flesh. And if we are more conscious of our own frailties, it will help us not to depend on ourselves and what proceeds from the flesh. But as I mentioned, we do participate in the process of ministry, but not of the flesh. So this then shows to us, which Paul goes on to elaborate in the verses that follow, this means there's a requirement of the rigorous dealing with the self-life, and at the same time, the conscious reliance on God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit and Christ having the freedom to work in and through our lives. Both of these aspects are very important. God will have to deal with the self-life and teach us how to rely on Him, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the liberty with which Christ can work in and through our lives. In the different situations we go through, especially the trials and pain that we experience, and how we go through them is vital. This leads to the next point, or the next aspect, that the faithful servant of God will experience trials and afflictions from which he must not shrink away. And the faithful servant of God is meant to apply to all of us. We are all meant to be servants of God and faithful servants of God. Not just those with heavier responsibilities like the Apostle Paul. The servant of God, the faithful servant of God, he will experience trials and afflictions, and he must not shrink away, because these trials and afflictions are an essential aspect of the ministry of life. The principle of death in us, resulting in life in others, from verses 8 to 12. So even as Paul talks about, we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves, he went on to say, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. The difficulties, the afflictions, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. The trials and difficulties, afflictions of the faithful servant of God. Then verse 10, he tells us the relationship between this and the ministry of life. Verse 10, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, learning from the example of the Lord Jesus, the principle of the cross, the spirit with which the Lord Jesus went through the cross. We must also learn to be faithful in the way we go through in fellowship with God the trials and difficulties of life, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, which will then deal with the self-life, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. If we go through the trials and afflictions well, it can help us to deal increasingly, deeply, decisively with the self-life and all the impurities in our hearts. Verse 11, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. So bear in mind, he says, we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. So it's not just talking about any kind of pain and suffering, but, for example, pain and suffering due to our own foolishness, but rather in the course of faithful service, afflictions, difficulties, in the path of obedience, for the sake of the Lord Jesus, as we learn to go through the trials and afflictions in fellowship with God in the right spirit, then they can flow forth in increasing measure the life of the Lord. Death works in us, but life in you. But actually, the first part is the experience of the life in ourselves first, and then verse 12, even as the principle of death works in the hearts of God's servants, there will be ministry of life to those who are, to whom he is reaching out to. In the midst of trials and pain, and especially severe ones, we may become discouraged, or the evil one would want to work in our hearts to move us in that direction, to deter us, to discourage us. But Paul, in this passage, also goes on to tell us how we need not lose heart, and we will not lose heart if we maintain the right perspective and understanding and persevere, as we learn from the example of the Apostle Paul and his co-workers. And we can say verses 16 to 18 is part of the testimony of the Apostle Paul and his co-workers. Even in the midst of the pain and suffering and the afflictions, at times very severe from a human perspective, the Apostle Paul says in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, why we do not lose heart? The perspective, the understanding. Outer man decaying, but yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. The afflictions is producing a transformation in the inner man, being renewed, whereby we can then view the afflictions as only momentary light affliction, producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, that the things which are not seen are eternal. So from the eternal perspective, we know we need not be deterred, discouraged by the difficulties, afflictions along the way. For ourselves, as we go through the afflictions in the right spirit, we are being transformed. And that is something extremely precious. The eternal weight of glory being produced in us. The other is the ministry of life to others. That is of eternal significance and value. So a brief summary of this part. We have the precious treasure of what God wants to communicate to mankind in earthen vessels. That is, we are frail beings with weaknesses and deficiencies. And to be God's faithful representatives, there's a need to deal effectively in increasing measures with the self-life. Self-desires, but also the reliance on the self. So that increasingly the life of Christ may be manifested through our mortal bodies. Not just accuracy of content of words communicated, though that is very important, but also the transmission of truth, life and spiritual reality. Notice what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about faithful ministry, which we've been considering, and being entrusted with this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, this chapter follows the preceding chapter 3, which we've looked at in an earlier message, where Paul talks about being adequate as servants of the new covenant. And in chapter 2, the sense of inadequacy. Who is adequate for these things? In chapter 2, verse 16. In chapter 4, Paul says we can be adequate as servants of the new covenant, and it's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, verses 5 to 8. And also the transformation into the image of Christ, verse 18 of chapter 3. Adequate as servants of the new covenant through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, verses 5 to 8. Transformation into the image of Christ, verse 18, all this of chapter 3. And all these are related to the way we can faithfully discharge our responsibility as representatives of the Lord, the ministry God has entrusted to His children. And chapter 4 is then followed by chapter 5, where Paul tells us we are ambassadors for Christ. In verse 20 of chapter 5, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. So God is speaking to others through us, our lives, our words. Verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That is what has been entrusted to all of us, and we are ambassadors for Christ. God making appeal, speaking to others through us. Concluding remarks for today's message. Let us be deeply impressed with this fact that a major means by which God speaks to man and ministers to man, what God wants to communicate to all mankind, is through His children. We can even go further beyond just all mankind and those who don't yet know the Lord. It also includes a continuing ministry to other brethren through our lives. And we have to reach out to others, minister to others as God's representatives, as ambassadors for Christ. Christ is no longer walking on this earth, but Christ is still reaching out to the hearts and minds of people, and a major means by which the Lord Jesus does so is through His disciples, who are members of the body of Christ, spiritually linked to Christ the head, submitted to Christ the head. And we are meant to express what is in the heart of the Lord and to represent Him, to minister in the way that the Lord Jesus Himself would want to minister and to reach out. And the way we are to do it, that God desires and requires of us, is not merely as lifeless, passive channels or instruments. Paul tells us we are to be living sacrifices. We are to be ambassadors, living a life. Not lifeless, passive channels. God just speaking to us, a mouthpiece. Faithful and effective communication of what is in the heart of God, the precious treasure of the gospel, includes accuracy of meaning and width and depth of content. That is important. But this is to be of the content communicated, but also the spiritual life and reality that goes forth together with it. That's how God desires it to be. The Lord Jesus has shown to us example. He is the Word of God. But it's not just meant, but it's not just the words that flow forth. The Lord Jesus Himself being the communication. How well we learn, how much we have grown, all this will have a significant bearing on our effectiveness and ability to be God's faithful representatives through whom God speaks and ministers to others. God leads us and also allows us. The two are not exactly the same. Some of the things we go through is exactly how God wants us to go through. Some is permission of God. God leads us and allows us to go through many kinds of situations, including trials and afflictions. Not only trials and afflictions, but including trials and afflictions, so that we may have a comprehensive training. There is a purpose in what God allows us to go through. It's important for us to avail ourselves of all the opportunities God has given to us and to learn as much as we can. Earnestly, whether it be our personal time with the Lord, in our reading of the scriptures, in our own personal prayer life, or as we learn and grow together with the brethren in our working of church life, or the various situations of life that we go through, they are all relevant to the equipping and the effectiveness in service of God's servants, God's children, and how God speaks and ministers to others through our lives. God knows the part that He wants us to fulfill in the body of Christ, and also the part He wants us to fulfill that's yet to be, that will unfold in the future, which we do not know. But God knows. He knows what lies ahead and what He desires of us to contribute, to participate in the working of His purposes. We also know that God sovereignly watches over our lives and what we go through. How God wants us to serve Him will have a bearing on what He wants us to go through and what He allows us to go through. So let us not be deterred. Let us not feel miserable when the situations we go through are extremely difficult. What we need to concentrate upon is faithfulness to God. And if we are clear that we've been faithful to the Lord, we are concentrating on that, then let us not be deterred by the difficulties along the way. There's a purpose why God allows us to go through these things. They are very important for our own lives and development, and also for the ministry that God desires of our lives. So let us constantly look to the Lord to see what He wants to teach us, what we can learn in the different situations and contexts we are in. And it's important to develop the habit of prayerfully thinking through and grappling with issues from the biblical perspective. In our times with the Lord, pondering over issues as well as in the different situations we go through, and also how we work out together in church life. There are many different opportunities God has given to us. There's much that God wants to teach us let us not waste away the opportunities. How well we learned, how much we've grown, and how much we continue to grow will be vital for the major related issues of life. Our own personal well-being, the meaning and quality of our lives for now and for eternity, the quality of our relationship with God and with others, how well we can speak and conduct ourselves the way God desires of us, what we transmit, how faithful and effective we are as God's representatives, how well we fulfill our part in our working of God's purposes. So we can see how critical it is to learn well and how critical it is this issue of growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, reflect on how we have been responding to God's call, the ministry that He has entrusted to us. Are we prayerful, careful in seeking to learn what God desires to teach us from the scriptures and the situations we go through as we seek to work out together in church life? How much we learn, how much we grow, is not fixed. The range of possibility is great. The potential for our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ is very, very great. Let us prayerfully look to the Lord to see what steps we can take that we can make better progress in our growth, and also how we can more faithfully communicate as God's faithful representatives and ambassadors. How can we order our lives and the attitude of heart and spirit that we should nurture, that God would have increasing freedom to speak and minister to others through our lives? Let us focus on the Lord Jesus as our perfect example, His life and ministry, and especially the spirit with which He went through the cross. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You may have the freedom to speak deeply to our hearts. We may gain true insight into what You revealed in the scriptures, the beyond the words and concepts. We may hear what You are speaking to us. We pray that You remove the obstacles in the way, and that there may be a deep response in our hearts to Your high calling, in our personal lives, and also how we can encourage one another to respond well together as Your people. Thank You for the many different opportunities for learning. And we ask that You help us to maintain a spirit of humility, that You may have the freedom to speak to us through the words and lives of others. Thank You for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for Your blessings on the bread and wine. And we ask that You help us to partake in faith, that we may be enriched by the life of the Lord Jesus, and our oneness with You in the body of Christ may be enhanced. Help us to partake together a deep sense of purpose, direction in life, and direction of Your calling. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.